Hey, it's Carlito from Money Boys, and you're listening to Radio Carom. Keep the dial locked on Community Radio, and you have a ripping day.
Welcome to the Strong, Single and Human podcast, a real look at single parenting, how to navigate the ups and downs of life with kids on your own while keeping sane. We cover all manner of subjects from domestic violence, dealing with childhood trauma, through to fussy eaters and how to help your kids become resilient. I'm your host, Claire Martin. Welcome. Jenny Toe is a seasoned professional coach with a background in law spanning nearly three decades. Despite a successful legal career and a fulfilling personal life with a supportive husband and three children, Jenny felt an inner yearning for something more and a desire to live life to its fullest potential. Her coaching journey began when she experienced the powerful impacts of coaching in an organization she worked for. Eventually, she decided to take the leap and pursue her passions for coaching herself. Jenny underwent professional coach training at the International Coach Academy, becoming a certified professional coach. She achieved her credentials with more than 900 hours of coaching and demonstrating excellence and professional competence throughout the rigorous assessment over that time. So why is she on the podcast? Well, Jenny is an introvert. Her children are introverts, and she believes being an introvert shouldn't stop you from achieving your goals and reaching your dreams. Jenny is dedicated to helping people understand who they are, introvert, extrovert, and for them to unearth and rediscover their dreams and passions so they can live on their terms. This is the Strong, Single and Human podcast. Hi, welcome Jenny Toe to the podcast. Welcome.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me on your show.
No, thank you for coming on board. Look, tell us a little bit about you and your journey to becoming a coach, because there's so much that we're going to delve into in this interview. But let's just find out about you a little bit first.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for asking, Claire. So my first career is in law. I was practicing law, firstly as a trial attorney, and then towards the last 15 years, I've been working as a derivatives counsel, in-house counsel in banks. And I made the shift to coaching in 2020. That's the wow. year of the pandemic, right? I trained as a coach in 2019. Then in 2020, I started my own coaching business. But at that time, I was still doing legal consulting work, you know, for the income, and then slowly building the coaching business. And it's only this year in 2023 that I have stopped the legal consulting work, and I'm full in with my coaching business.
Taking a full jump.
Yes, taking the full jump. Yes.
But why coaching, right? So, because like you just said, right, being a lawyer is like good money, the kudos of like being a lawyer.
I still find it intellectually fulfilling in that sense. For me, it's more of a faith-related reason. I feel that God is calling me into this profession in this season of my life. Of course, it didn't happen overnight. I was probably getting the nudge back in 2015 when I was exposed to some coaching in the organization to help me manage the team, right, as a mid-level manager. But, you know, it defeats the rational mind. Why change career midstream? I mean, that was like so many years ago. Now everyone's like not thinking twice when they're saying that, oh, I want to go for a career change. It seems the norm now, right, to do many things, wear many hats. So I think all along, my values, my purpose is in helping people. So even when I first started off studying law and being a lawyer, all I wanted to do was help people, right? So if back then I was working in a small law firm, I could see the value that I give to my clients because it's very small. You have quite close touch with the clients. But as you advance in your career and you take on bigger roles and work in larger organizations, that value, that purpose of helping people tends to get a bit blurry because you don't really see the individual's impact. So that's why I'm in coaching right now. I do want to help people, one person at a time. I know that takes time, but it's so rewarding and it's so fulfilling.
Yeah, no, that's right. And what type of coaching are you involved in at the moment?
I do all sorts. I mean, under my private business, it's life coaching, but people say, what is life coaching? At the end of the day, is what your life is about, right? What you pay attention to. So here in Asia, a lot of people come to me and say, Jenny, you say you're a life coach, but I'm actually having a career situation. So it doesn't mean I can't coach you because career is one aspect of your life. It's not all your life, but that's where we start. But usually in a conversation, we may start with a career-related point, like, oh, I want to change jobs, or I'm transitioning, or I'm not happy in my job. There always comes a point when you ask yourself, what is it that I want out of life? You know, so I believe that all forms of coaching eventually is life coaching because you as the client bring your life into the coaching session.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And we today I'm going to talk about a subject that fascinates me, absolutely fascinates me, which is introverts, right? Because you're a self-confessed introvert. Is what
you make that sound like a crime, Claire.
I know, but it's not, right? It's not. It's so not, right? But
it fascinates me
because I don't really, if I was to think about it, somebody goes, oh, what's an introvert, right? I don't really know what an introvert is. I think it's somebody who doesn't like socializing, right? But I don't think that's the real, that's not what an introvert is it?
That's a misconception, but yes. I can't really say that's not true to a certain extent. So again, the purpose of me sharing my thoughts on introversion, yes, I'm a self-confessed introvert. Took me a long time before I knew I was an introvert. It is to, you know, give people awareness, but it's not to box people in. So you may be an introvert, but you may be a very different introvert from me, and you may be an extrovert, but you could be an introverted extrovert if that's such a thing. As in, you're the quieter type of extrovert. So we're all on a spectrum, but it helps understand the differences between an introvert and extrovert because in the workplace or even in life, you come across many people, and sometimes you find that by not understanding where the other person is coming from, there are misunderstanding and there are also difficult conversations coming from that, right? So an introvert is a person who's naturally more quiet and introspective. But an introvert is not necessarily shy and is not necessarily antisocial and is not necessarily aloof, right? But you do have introverts who are shy and introverted. So when I was a child, I was very shy. Even in school, I was shy. So shyness is something you can outgrow, you can overcome. Introversion and extroversion, for that fact, is a part of who you are. It's not something you grow from or you learn to become an introvert. Although during COVID, I think a lot of extroverts had to find if they have an introverted side because they are stuck at home. And for introverts, you know, we love that, you know, love being at home by ourselves. But after a long time, we also crave, you know, that strong one-to-one connection with people. Yeah. What I'm saying is that there is a spectrum, but naturally introverts think by introspecting, mulling about something within themselves and find really comforting being in their own company. Whereas for extroverts, they get energized when they share their ideas with people, when they brainstorm with people, and they tend to speak their mind, and they love, you know, really talking to a lot of people. Introverts will find that quite draining, right? They will find that literally quite draining.
See, there are certain things that I feel as though I'm introvert on, and then you've just described me to a T with an extrovert, right? Because I find that I can't solve problems or challenges that I'm having unless I externalize it, right? Mm. I cannot sit and in my head sort out an issue. So a lot of the time I will have to tell, especially my male friends, because I work in an IT environment. So my male friends want to solve all my problems, right? And I'm going, no, don't solve it. I'm just going to get it out of my body so that I can actually solve it myself, because I can't, there's too much going on in my body for me to actually mull over and deal with it. It's almost like I need to write it down, whiteboard it, draw diagrams and get it out of my head. But what you're saying is an introvert does all that drawing and dealing with solutionizing
we may draw it out and you know talk about it, but we do it with ourselves. So yeah. You can find us in a room and all by ourselves, and we might be talking to ourselves. And I guess one downside for a lot of introverts, against this is a generalization, is that we tend to shoot our ideas down even before it goes out. I see that happening with myself. So just say I have an idea for a pitch, right? So I'm like weighing the pros and cons. That comes from my legal training, like what's the best case scenario, what's the worst case scenario, and mulling at everything. And even before anyone knows about it, I'm like, okay, that idea won't work. Right. So in a way, that's a disadvantage for us. But as for an extrovert, you might think, hey, I have an idea. Let's talk about it with Jenny. Yeah. You know, you don't even think twice whether the idea is good enough to share with someone.
We just get it out there.
Yeah, we just get it out there.
And
then
Jenny might go, oh, no, that's a rubbish idea. And then I might go, oh, okay, yeah, you might be right. But it's out there, right? Whereas you would do all of that processing on your own in your self, and therefore it might be an awesome idea, but you yourself have told you it ain't a great idea.
That's a shame, because you know, a lot of our ideas are fantastic, wonderful, but we hold ourselves back because we're thinking that, you know, it doesn't cut my own, you know, standards. So I do coach and encourage introverts to kind of share their ideas, share their opinions in a trusted, safe space. So if they are not comfortable to share it in a large team meeting, could you share it with your manager if you have that trust? Could you share it with a peer and then just bounce ideas off? So we like conversations in a more in a smaller setting, whether it's one-to-one or a small group, but put us in a large brainstorming session, then we tend to hold ourselves back.
Wow. Okay. So as a manager then, if you're sitting and you have several team members and you're sitting there with several team members, as a manager, the people that are sitting there quietly, you should actually be bringing them into the conversation and saying, hey, what are your thoughts and views, Jenny? And bringing them into the conversation, because they could have some good ideas, right? But because they're of an introvert tendency, they go, oh, no, I'm not going to speak up or whatever. So as a manager, you need to recognize those people, or a leader or whatever, or even a mum, right? If we're going to go down the single mum thing, right? And I've only got one child, right? And my one child is probably the same as me, right? He's very much the same as me, right? The apple didn't fall very far from the tree, right? But if I had a few children, two or three, right? Even four, maybe. It could be that, now this is the next question I was going to ask you, right? So it could be that some of them are introvert, some of them are extrovert, maybe, I don't know. Are you born an introvert or an extrovert? Or does it grow within you? Is it in your DNA?
Yeah, I alluded that, right? I mean, shyness is a trait that you kind of pick up. But yes, in a way, if you want to say whether you're born as an introvert and extrovert, you are. You are who you are. However, as you grow up in school and in work environment, you do have your more extroverted spurts. And for extroverts, you do think like, okay, maybe on certain occasions, I need to hold back a bit more and practice empathy towards the other person and let the other person talk. So let's talk about your situation where you're a manager. So first off, the manager has to be self-aware. You know, what is his or her traits? Is he naturally more extroverted? So if he's naturally more extroverted in a team meeting, let's say he's got five people, he will draw go towards the more extroverted team members because they are alike, right? So in a conversation, let's just say three of them are extroverted plus the manager who is extroverted, these four people will be talking away, right? And then the quieter two will be there, kind of like, okay, when will all this end? You know, I'd rather be doing my own work. So once he's aware that he's an extroverted boss, yes, like you said, draw the more introverted team members out, but don't put too much pressure on them yet. So one thing is to think about the different ways of communication. So prior to the meeting, you could tell the more introverted team members, I think you have a great idea here. Are you willing to share? I just need you to speak 3 minutes on it. Then after that, you can send the proposal or the paper to the rest of the team members. So giving them a different mode of communication, like letting them know in advance, because introverts also like to prepare. We think so much in our heads. Right, so we need time to prepare. We hate being put on the spot, whereas, you know, more extroverted person is like, I don't even need to think, right? I can
I don't know about that, because I think I hate being put on the spot as well, right? But I suppose we just don't think about it. There's just somebody points at us and goes, what do you think?
Yes.
We just blurt it all out, whereas you guys would be thinking, oh, it sounds like you're an alien, but you're not. But it's like, I'm an extrovert, right? So it's like, this just fascinates me, right? Because also, so here we go. I'm going to go back to that kid question again, right? Sure. Can you have extrovert kids and introvert kids within your family? Or do you have a whole family of extroverts and a whole family of introverts?
Well, for myself personally, it's my husband, me, and three kids, and all of us are introverts, of varying degrees, right? So we're all introverts. But I've spoken to friends and peers and people, you know, and then they say that my husband's very extroverted, or my husband's very introverted, my kid's extroverted. So I actually had another podcast episode with a lady who's like half-half. So I think she and her son are introverted, her husband and her daughter are extroverted. So how do you draw that balance, right? It's to know how you manage your energy. So yes, you go out for family outings, but sometimes the more introverted ones need that downtime. And then the two who are more extroverted can go out and continue having fun, while, you know, the mother and the son can have just a quiet cup of tea or what in a corner while they both read their book and you know, recharge, right? So it's about understanding where you draw your energy from. An introvert draws their energy from within their time of solitude, and extrovert draws energy from outside. So it's also recognizing if you're a parent and you're seeing your child always wanting to, you know, be by himself or herself, there's nothing wrong. Maybe you've got a child who's more introverted to who needs to draw that energy. But, you know, find a topic that they're really passionate about. Okay, maybe for teenagers, it's some sort of games, right? And get them to talk about it. So when you see that, wow, you know, they're really engaged in that particular topic, then you know that, oh, okay, this is what energizes this person. Right. And that's how you build that connection, even though you're an extrovert or you're an introvert and your child is different. Yeah.
And so that's interesting about the energy, but I'll get the words out in a minute. Sorry about this. A bit like with your child, right? I'm thinking you don't really need to give the extrovert child much preparation regarding anything, but with an introvert child, if something's going to change in the household, say for example's sake, or you're going to move house or move schools, or I don't know, I'm just trying to think. With an extrovert, they don't tend to have, you know, they're okay. They just deal with change maybe differently to an introvert. Would that be right in saying that?
Yes. I can see that happening with my kids. So it's like if my youngest daughter is going to give a presentation, she will mull about it in her head so much.
Oh my gosh.
And she will think about all possible scenarios, right? So what I do is I sit with her and I get her to talk about what she's feeling first, right? And then where are those feelings coming from? And then kind of like get her to recognize that she's done so much prep work, she's practiced, she's got all her words right, she's even got the right prop. And, you know, think about, you know, visualize doing it well, right? So she gets into that. But then, of course, there's a part like, what if, you know, I do something wrong? Then we talk through about, okay, if that goes wrong, how bad can it be, right? What's the worst that can happen? But of course, provide that safe emotional support there, because they really can come up with worst case scenarios. So, but at the end of the day, get them to feel that in a way, this is a growth experience for them. So whatever changes that's coming through, hopefully, you know, in your conversations with them, it will land on a place where they can see, oh, this is part of a process. I am growing through this. This change is actually quite exciting. But it takes a longer time for an introvert to think about it, to feel it, and to really come to accept it.
Well, that was what I was going to say to you. Do we have to be more aware as a parent of our introverted children, right? Because as an extrovert parent, right, like I sort of know when there's an issue with my son because it's out there, it's there in my face, and he's like shouting at me, or he's not sleeping at night, or it's very apparent that there's something going on because it's physical, right? And it's verbal and it's out there. But I'm thinking with an introvert child, it's all internal, right? And so therefore, as an extrovert parent, if I had an introvert child, it's more around questioning techniques, being observational of like what they're doing as such. I don't know.
I think it goes across the board, whether your child's introverted or extroverted, is to really know your child, right? So you can pick up cues. And you're right about being observant. So if I see my middle daughter being very quiet that day, I will ask, but she will not say anything yet. So what I do is I let her have that space to de-stress, to unwind, and then, you know, now and it's the day of technology, right? So even in the same house, I'll send her a WhatsApp text to say that, you know, if you need to talk about it, I'm open. Just come to me. So I don't bug her, right? And when the time is right, she will come to, and have a chat.
And I was going to say, but is that important, like, not to bug them? Because I suppose as an extrovert, right?
Yes, don't bug them.
Exactly.
Let them have that space to process. Okay. Yeah, let them have that space to process. Yeah.
Because then as an extrovert, you want to go in there and you want to help straight away,
what's wrong,
right?
But, you know? Yeah, it's exactly. Like, talk me about it. You seem
and I
so
know
sad.
Something's up. So because you know, as a parent, you know something's up, right? And I know something's up and I can help you, blah, blah. But it's don't bug them. Just go, I'm here. If you need to speak to me, come and talk to me about it. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it takes quite a lot of self-restraint, to do that, yes.
I mean, it takes it even with an extrovert child, right? Because my son will go, I don't want to talk about it. And I go, okay, right, here we go. Okay, I know there's something wrong. But okay. But okay, so how do you recognize, I think we've sort of touched on it a little bit, but like, how do you, and I know there's a spectrum, right? So this is where it gets hard for me because I go, how do you recognize? Because I actually like working from home. I like actually my own space to be able to just get on with my stuff that I need to get on with, right? So, but then if I have issues and challenges, I have to externalize it and stuff like that. But I do like my own space, I like my own space. I definitely like my own space. There are times where I don't want to socialize. I'm like, just
you're only human, right? So that's another like stereotype extrovert. Like, well, you know, extrovert just need to keep talking and talking to people. That's not true because we're all people and we do get our energy depleted. But maybe ask yourself throughout your day, Claire, when do you feel most energized? So if you feel that you're most energized when you have those kind of interactive conversation with people, is very engaging and you're in the flow, then maybe you have a bit more extroverted traits. Whereas for introvert, it doesn't mean that we don't enjoy those conversations, but our energy probably depletes faster. So maybe you can go for a full hour and mine will probably deplete after 20 minutes, even though, you know, we are best friends, you know, but if it's something that's, you know, a bit too deep, I might say, okay, you know, I do feel quite tired after this conversation. Yeah. So it's to recognize when your energy is depleting and when you really get energized.
Right. Okay. And so, okay. And I am energized talking to people. That's why I do a podcast, right?
Yes.
I love talking to people. It's great. And finding out everything I can about everyone. So that's awesome. Whereas podcasts, I'm imagining, would be a bit stressful for you. Well, not stressful, but just knackering, tiring.
Well, like this, talking to you, Claire, to me, I know that there'll be audience listening to the podcast episode, but I don't see them, right? So for me, I'm telling myself, it's just a great conversation with Claire. So I'm really 100% present, you know, I'm engaged and I enjoy talking about this topic because it's something I'm passionate about. So one thing about introverts is that we have things that we're really passionate about. And once you get us started on that, then we will keep at it because, you know, we're very... Wow. Targeted and focused in our passions.
So, being an introvert and doing the business that you do, right, and the focus that you do, so that is a superpower to a certain extent because that means that you're passionate, you're focused on what you're doing, and potentially us extroverts, God love us, we're scattergun approach. We like, we love everything, we want to do everything. Is that potentially...
Not necessarily, because extroverts will also be very focused, very determined. And I think extroverts has an advantage in this noisy world, especially if you're running a business. You wouldn't think twice about going out there and so-called pitching and selling. You'd be like, you know, hey, this is my podcast, you know, and then this is what I do. And it just keeps going, right? And because you're energized by it. Whereas for an introvert, for me to say that, okay, I want to support introverts, sometimes, like I just mentioned earlier, I shoot my own ideas down. Like if I want to put out a social media post on introversion, I'll be mulling in my mind, okay, will anyone actually find value of this? So I find that I hold myself back when I introspect too much. So there's that balance about planning, preparing, doing research. But then I ask myself, if I keep this all to myself and it doesn't go out there, who am I depriving this benefit from? Right. So it's my audience. If I think about my audience of one, there is this one introverted person, professional female leader out there who needs to hear this message. But because I'm so caught in my head, it doesn't go out. I'm depriving her of this value, this insight. So that is what motivates me to click the post button or the publish button to say that, okay, I got to do this because someone out there needs to hear this. Someone out there needs to hear that introversion is not a crime, right? It's not a weakness. It's just a unique personality trait. It's who you are. And you see it as a strength because introverts can have strong one-to-one relationship. And because we mull in our heads too much, we probably thought about all possible worst case scenarios. Then when you come to a meeting, you can say, did you think about that when, you know, maybe some other people haven't thought about that. So I actually also encourage my more introverted clients, if they feel uncomfortable to talk, to share their point, can they ask a curious question? Because they've mulled so much about it, they could say, yeah, I hear you say ABC, but what about D? Has anyone looked into D? And by asking that question, it gets everyone, oh, no, we haven't thought about D. Okay, let's think about D now. So by doing that, you are also adding value. So what I ask them is that if you keep holding everything within yourself, what benefit are you depriving others from?
Well, that's true. And also, like, I'm sitting here from, I manage projects and programs, right? And I'm sitting here from a project program manager, and I would love an introvert on my project or program because they would make awesome risk managers because they would sit there and have mulled over all of the bad things that were going to happen and what possible implementation plans could be done to stop the bad things from happening and stopping the project and all of these. I'd be like, that, come on board. Come on board, introverted risk manager. You are definitely what I need on my project because, you know, it's going to be a success because you've done all of that thinking that me as an extrovert potentially hasn't done quite as much. So,
It's also about that diversity, right? So if you have a group of extroverts, you know, maybe it's too much do, but hey, hang on, what are the consequences? But you have a group of introverts, it's more like, oh, this idea is not good enough, you know, in their own respective heads and no one hears anything. I mean, these are extremes, right? That's why they always say that, you know, you need to put diverse people together. Yeah.
Yes. No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. And do women tend to be introvert more than men?
I don't think there's been specific studies to show that. I mean, I've looked that up. I don't think so. It's not so much. Maybe it's because you're a woman and you're introverted and you mull about things so much. you may hold yourself back. Because, you know, in this day and age, yes, we are fighting for equality and equity, but we know that, you know, in terms of gender equality, we're still a far way off from being considered equals. That's a whole nother conversation altogether.
Oh my
so
God,
maybe by the fact that you yourself are a woman, you feel that, okay, maybe my voice is not as loud as the male. You know, so even both of you are extroverts, you know, you are in the IT world, which is, like you said, quite male dominated. So even though you're extroverted, you might still feel that, oh, okay, my voice is still not loud enough for people to take notice. So coupled with that, and imagine you're a female and you're introverted, that's why there's a perception that, oh, there are maybe more female introverts. But I think we take a step back. It could come from the gender difference first. Right. So even an extroverted female might find it challenging in a male-dominated company or industry.
Well, and also I was thinking more around culture as well, right? So there are different cultures around the world. I'm not going to name anyone to incriminate myself, but there are different cultures around the world and that actually say, oh, in a way, women are there to look after the children and stuff like that. Men are supposed to go out and do X, Y, and Z. I'm not saying that's the right way to think about things, but it still exists, right? It still exists in this day and age that we still have these views. We still have people posting on TikTok and on Insta, all of their views around, oh, women should be grateful for men and blah, 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 and all of this stuff, right? So I wondered if it was around cultural is probably one of the aspects, aspects where
social,
you know,
norms as well.
Social, exactly. That would mean that women shouldn't be speaking up. You know, I mean, 1950s housewife was like not allowed to have a bank account, and you know, it was all on her husband and stuff like that, right? But so I just wondered if that generated. But you're saying no, because they're born that way, introverts, extroverts. So that's interesting.
And that's also, I mean, a bit of a science fact is also the types of hormones that energizes an extrovert and introvert. So an extrovert, like you earlier you mentioned about risk taking, right? Extroverts are energized by the dopamine hormone, which is generated when you take on risk, when you do exciting things like exciting sports and things like that, and you're like, oh, you know, this. So you get on a dopamine high. So I'm not saying that introverts don't get on a dopamine high, but I think we crash faster on a dopamine high. Whereas for us, introverts, we draw more from the acetylcholine hormone, which is one that is when you're doing something in the flow, like when you're drawing something and, you know, time just passes.
Focus.
And there's that focus, and that calmness, you know, and you know, it's the quieter type of activities that really recharges an introvert. Yeah. So I'm not saying that introverts cannot be good sportsmen and sportswomen, but maybe after they've done all that with the dopamine high, they need to do something that gets their acetylcholine hormones up as well. They need that downtime as well.
But a sniper might be an introvert because they're focused in, quiet, internalized, controlling their breathing. I don't know where I got sniper from, but hey-ho.
Yeah, I know. Is that movie that you've watched?
I don't know. No, it's not. But hey-ho. But like a sniper would actually be like quiet. It would have to be quiet and still and focused for long periods of time, wouldn't they? I mean, I don't know.
And
I don't know any snipers, I have to say.
Okay.
I don't know any extrovert snipers or introvert snipers. It just came to my head.
Yes.
And I would... So are there careers? Well, I'm going down the career path now. Yes. But it's fascinating me because I go, are there careers which would actually attract an introvert more so than an extrovert? So I'm thinking when you said about focus that detailed artists or draft persons would be more introvert potentially. I mean, I paint, but...
I mean, you know, I've coached quite a lot of people in sales and they say, oh, Jenny, I chose you as a coach because you're an introvert and haha, you know, I'm an introvert, but I'm in sales. So they see themselves like, you know, a mismatch, right? But in actual fact, when you think about sales, Claire, it's actually... you know, really understanding the client, really getting into the details, really listening, right? So that those traits and introverts do quite well, especially if you're also having a small group discussion, talking one-to-one. So you may, you know, go with your extroverted boss who's good at presenting, but at the end of the day, you are the one listening for what the client really wants, what are the client's pain points, and really building that trust and rapport. So, you know, an introvert can be great in sales as long as they are passionate about what they're selling, right? So I think the challenge here is, and I think this goes for anyone, if you're doing something that you don't believe in, after a while, it gets very tiring. Maybe for an extrovert, you don't think so much. You're like, okay, you know, I enjoy talking, I enjoy selling, I'll just go at it. But, you know, in your quieter time, you might think, oh, I don't believe in this product I'm selling, right? So, but an introvert gets that much faster. It drains their energy much faster when they're, you know, doing something that they don't really believe in.
Wow. So would we say introverts, if they start a job, are they quicker to leave a job than an extrovert because the job drains them, they're not enjoying it, it's not something they're passionate about, and therefore they move on to the next job, their next job quicker than an extrovert who...
Well, like you said, you wanted an introverted risk manager, right? So some introverts can be quite risk averse. So although in their mind, they know that it's draining, but again, they shut down the idea. I can't find a job out there. If I can't do this job well, how can I do another job better? And they don't talk about it. They don't talk to their managers about it. So what I do to support my introverted clients, if they see a mismatch in roles, in responsibilities, or they feel they're overlooked, have that conversation with your manager. Have that conversation with whoever you need to have that conversation. Because if it's all in your mind, how would they know that you're not happy with this current project? Sometimes the biggest of problems are in our minds, but when it comes out and you talk about it with your manager, he might say, oh, I never knew you didn't like this, or I never knew that this was so challenging for you. I actually have another project that I think you'd be better fitted for, but you never said anything, right? So it is to start having that conversation. Yeah, so it's to really understand who you are and to be brave enough to ask for it.
So how do we start to help our introverted children, our introverted friends? It sounds to me like the communication is into how do we start to help them externalize what they want and what they need? How do we empower them to get what they want?
So for introverted kids, what I do with my kids is really get them to appreciate their uniqueness. So I've got three introverted kids, three very different kids. So it's like very different.
They usually are.
So it's to recognize their strengths, you know, and to really love themselves for who they are. And then also to recognize that their thoughts, their opinions matter. So it's like we have to walk the talk. So there are some days when they come up to you and you're like too tired, I don't want to listen to this again, you know. Maybe you have to pause yourself and say, oh, but it matters to my son. That's why he says he wants, mom, I need to talk to you about this. And you're like, not again. You know? Yeah. But maybe you have to pause and really carve out that 2-3 minutes to really pay full attention to him. Then he'll be like, wow, mom thinks my opinion is great, you know, or she heard me out and she actually agreed, disagreed, and we got an interesting conversation out of it. So you build that into that child. So when that child goes out, it'll be like, my opinion is worth something. Right, I am not, just because I'm an introvert, it doesn't mean I'm not as good or even better than extrovert. And likewise, just because he or she is an extrovert doesn't mean that, oh, okay, you're just loud and brash all the time. No, we all have different facets. So it's to recognize our uniqueness, recognize what our strengths are, and recognize that, you know, what we say matter.
And you need to do that for all of them, right? Because an extrovert could be out there in the way, like, you know, splurting out everything that they want to splurt out and such, but still not be feeling very confident in themselves, right? And still not feeling as though their views and values are being heard, okay? Although they're being very extrovert about it. So it's similar for both parties, really, isn't it? It's just that they express themselves differently. And we have to be very conscious of how the two differ.
I just thought about something for an extroverted child. It's also to remind the extroverted child what's really within their control. So like all these things about shooting the ideas down and all that, you know, that those are your thoughts. But, you know, are you sure these outcomes will happen? So take a step back, look at it objectively. What is really, like my daughter's example of the presentation, what's really within her control? It's to go there and do that presentation. Yeah. You know, all the other possible things, you're not in control of that, but you're in control of how much you've prepared and you're going to give that speech.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes to kind of block out the noise and ask yourself, what do I really have to do here? I mean, if your child is young, just ask, you know, okay, what do you need to do here? What is it that you can do? Then you probably say, oh, mom, I can build this Lego set by myself.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't win a competition. It doesn't matter the colors not fitting the manual, but you can do it. So it's to focus like, what is really within my control, what can I do about it? And what's not within my control, maybe try and manage the risk, or maybe you have to let go and say, I did my best.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And what can, and if it all goes pear-shaped, what can I learn from it, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it is encouraging your children to go, okay, so guess what? You spoke when you shouldn't have spoken. What can you learn from that, right? And so one of the biggest things for me is trying to stay quiet at work. So, it's about actually commanding power and presence and leadership by actually staying quiet, listening and contemplating everyone's views and opinions before you actually put your views and opinions out there, right? Which is, like, for an extrovert, can be quite hard, right? But it's all good. It's all good. And so with that, right, and I know we've been talking a lot about children, right, but, like, do extroverts, I know with your family, right? You're all introverts, right? So your husband's an introvert, you're an introvert. Do you sometimes get the yin and the yang in relationships? So do you sometimes have introverts who are attracted to extroverts?
Well, my husband's the more introverted introvert. and possibly, you know, it's because he needs to go into his man cave. So after a long day at work, you know, you don't really want to, he doesn't really want to talk to anyone. So he needs to go to his own space, right? So if I understand you correctly, are you saying that opposites attract? Maybe, right?
Well, do they? So, I don't know. Yeah. Like, but do introverts look at extroverts and go, oh my God, I don't think I could deal with that 24/7?
I think that's usually the first impression, because we'll be like, oh, just hearing him speak is so tiring. But you may be attracted to certain things that, you know, his strengths and his traits that you yourself don't have. Maybe, you know, he's really courageous, he's really bold, and you didn't have that. So the saying goes, you know, opposites attract. So it doesn't mean just introverts, extroverts. Yes, that's opposite, but maybe there's more to it that attracts you, because it's just sometimes we look at the other person to see what we lack. I know that's not a good way to start a relationship, but it's just human nature. We look at the person as like, wow, you know, you got all these traits. I wish I was like you, right? And then that's how you start growing more affection towards that person.
Wow. Wow. And that's a whole different podcast.
Yes, that's a whole different topic.
A whole different podcast.
Men and women.
Oh my gosh. So how do you... as an introvert, right, you as an introvert, how have you gone about the business side of things for your company as such? Because that's a massive, well, I say it's a massive move, right? To me, as an extrovert, it's a massive move, right? But like, yeah, it's like a big step. You've gone from a safe place to, I mean, it's not maybe as unsafe because you've built it up over a period of time, right? But you've now gone to getting out there on your own.
Yeah. So it goes without saying for anyone, right? It's to really know why you're doing it, to get clear on your purpose for doing it. Right. So if a client comes and tell me that, you know, I want this role because, you know, I really want the money, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's to get clear on your purpose. The issue is when you're not clear with your purpose, when you're trying to live up to someone else's expectation, or you have the shoulds, you know, in your mind, like, I should be going after this role because naturally, if I look at people, my peers, they are already there. So I should be going. So your purpose isn't clear. Right, you are either influenced by other people's expectation of you or your sense of obligation. So it's the shoulds, right? So it's to get clear on your purpose, you know, what you really are called to do. And when you're clear on your purpose, that's your anchor. So it doesn't mean there's no challenges, but each time there's a challenge, you can tell yourself, okay, why am I doing this? Okay, this is why I'm doing this. Okay, how can I
and
then
you go back over- to your
yes.
why, as it were.
Yes, you go back to your why, and then you'll be able to work through your challenges. So for me, as an introvert, you know, starting my business, growing it, and I find that what helps is being really curious. So being really curious about even the business itself, being really curious about how other people are doing it, and then just learning, yeah, seeing it as a growth journey, just to learn and to explore, and then that energizes me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Wow. Wow. So there we go. Loads of stuff on introverts and how to deal with them. How do people get in contact with you if they want to delve in more detail around introverts, or even if they're an introvert and they want to be coached by you?
So I have my website, www.riverlifecoaching.com. I'm also active on LinkedIn and Facebook. So you can find me under my name, Jenny Toh, or you can find the business page as well, which is River Life Coaching. So you kind of get
River
lost.
Life yeah. Coaching. River yes. Life Coaching. Wow. Yes. How did you come up with that name?
Oh, I came up with that because that's my coaching model when I did my coach training. So the river is the analogy of life. So the river starts from the river source. So in coaching, for me, I see what are my clients' river source, i.e. their values, their belief system. And from their source, that's how your life flows, like the river. So is your river flowing smoothly? Is your river shallow?
Got a few rocks in it.
Does it meander? Does it get murky? You know, and at the end of the day, the river hits the ocean, right? So what's the legacy that you want to be left behind? Yeah. So if I take my clients through this analogy, it becomes clearer. It's like a visual, a nice visual. And I find it, you know, it's very calming also to talk about your life at, like a river.
And it's quite interesting that you said, what's the legacy you want to leave, right? Because I think a lot of us don't think about what our legacy is going to be like, how we just meander through life doing what we do. And we don't actually think about, well, what are we going to leave behind? What are people going to say when we're not here? What are they going to say and do and think of us as such?
Well, I hope for myself that when people listen to this podcast, they'll be like, oh, Jenny's an introvert. But then she's out there, you know, promoting her business, empowering introverts to find their traits as a strength, to find their unique place in the world. I mean, that's great. If people remember me by that, that's great. And I also want my kids to say, okay, mom's an introvert, but she's always online talking to someone, you know. So it's just to keep encouraging people to embrace their uniqueness and also not to say that, oh, because I'm different from that person, I'm not as good as that person.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's been great talking to you, Jenny. It's been fascinating because I think introvert and extrovert gets bandied around so many times out there, and people bandy it around and don't really know the actual reasons and what they are. And so it, actually understanding it, and if you have, and I can think of my stepdaughter as being an introvert, definitely, very much an introvert. And so me as an extrovert, I sort of sometimes don't know how to deal with it, right? But it's been good to actually understand that. My final question to you is, what would be a piece of advice that you've been given that you still use today?
I am a person who typically worries. So a lot of people will tell me, you know, Jenny, you don't worry so much. So I guess
we all worry.
Yeah, I know. But I do really mull about it. Being an introvert, right? So I do really mull in my head, and I always come up with worst case scenarios, and it sometimes, you know, you spiral. So now what I do is, you know, I take a step back and I look at it. So what if the worst case scenario pans out from my life experiences and all that? Things will work out in the end. Maybe work out not according to how you want it, but it will still work out. So why get so stressed about the what ifs, right? As long as you know you've done your best and, you know, you are aligned with your values, that's all that's needed.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, 9 times out of 10, what you worry about doesn't actually happen anyway. Or it's, you know, it's something that's like a smaller version of what you've worried about, or a different version of what you've worried about, or it could be completely left of field and you'd never even thought about it. And so, yeah, 9 times out of 10, actually doing nothing is probably the best thing to do. But who knows? Who knows? What do I know? I don't know anything. But it's all good. It's all good. So thank you again, Jenny. I'm going to let you get on with your day. Thanks for coming and talking to us about introverts and extroverts.
Thank you, Claire. This has been really fun for me too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope to see you back here again soon. Be kind to yourself, and remember, no one is perfect. We're all just putting one foot in front of the other and doing our best. I'm Claire Martin, and you've been listening to the Strong, Single, and Human podcast.
Hello, I'm Con.
And I'm Stav.
And we're Edinaki. You're listening to
Radio Karam.
If you're down Karam way, just call Mitchell Tor. Or in Patterson Lakes, just call Mitchell Tor. Anywhere Bayside, just call Mitchell Tor. Buy a summer house, just call Mitchell Tor. Mitchell Tor.
Real estate.
Oh yeah, little real estate.
We want more.